Thank you, Ivan. Well, almost everything has already been said, but not by me, and therefore I've been just crossing things that I have already heard, and I will therefore hopefully keep to my 3 minutes. Just to follow what has been said by Dimitar about other actors in the region, frankly, yes, Russia, important energy actor, but does anybody really in the region look to Russia as a political model, economic model, or anything? No, not seriously. So keep relative perspective. Secondly, Turkey, okay, Turkish Prime Minister Erdogan comes to Pristina with Kosovo Prime Minister and Albanian Prime Minister and says, Kosovo is Turkey, Turkey is Kosovo. Okay, does anybody think that that means, you know, government in Kosovo will abandon its European perspective? No, just put things in perspective. So yes, Vlado said the pull of the EU is no longer what it used to be. Perhaps, I'm not entirely convinced. If I look at actually the most important development that we've had recently in the region, that is the Serbia-Kosovo negotiation. This is the most positive and the most significant development in the region. It was made possible under the European perspective, only, I think, related to that. And there you have the parallel between, let's say, Vucic and Sanader. You know, Sanader was not a supporter of the European project, and eventually, you know, he steered the course and turned around his party, and I think the Serbian prime minister also is doing something similar, not because he suddenly converted to European federalism and the great ideals of Jean Monnet or I don't know what, no, because he's a Euro-realist, you know, from Europhobe to Euro-realist. This is a path, maybe not a glorious one, everybody can have their reservation. I think this is a tremendous achievement, and sometimes Euro-realism is better than a lot of empty talk that one hears and no delivery. Second story, this was the first story, let's say, story of Euro-realism. The second story, I would say, is that of missed opportunities. Remember, Macedonia signed became candidate 2005. It was moving in the right direction, economically, politically, etc. 2008 came, the great setback, the veto from Greece in the NATO summit, etc. And from then on, you have a process of regression, domestically, politically, and on the European agenda. That has not prevented Vemero to get reelected, and the economy has something to do with it. Incidentally, the countries that are close to the EU are not the ones that are doing best economically. Slovenia is financially in trouble. Croatia is in a recession for 6 years. And meanwhile, you have countries, this is borrowed wisdom from Vladimir, of course. He's my main source on the economy of the region. So I immediately give the footnote, you know, as I'm speaking. But that is it. You know, you look, Albania, Macedonia, they're not doing as badly as one thought. But politically, there is regression, nationalism on the rise, the ethnic polarization within Macedonia on the rise, and this really brings us to the question of what do EU member states that are in the region or around the region, what do they do to become vectors of integration? Well, in this case, this is a clear case where you have a country that is not a vector, indeed exactly the opposite. And I thought that the financial crisis, which, you know, when Greece was bankrupt, basically, and being bailed out, I thought this was an opportunity, maybe, for Europeans to say something to Greece on this issue. Okay, there is something like European solidarity on the economic and financial front, but maybe you should bear that in mind on other areas as well. So that is a second story of missed opportunity and the cost of it, of course. If you miss certain opportunities, you have regression. It's very, very hard to get back on track. A third story would be Bosnia and the change of paradigm. You know, for last, what, 10 years since the last 10 years since the attempt to change the Dayton Constitution. And we're still there discussing, you know, it's like from the Caragiale play, the Romanian author, you know, La Lettre Perdue. There's a character who walks on stage and he says, you know, there's only two ways of dealing with constitution. Either we have to keep the old constitution and we change it on all the fundamental points, or we adopt a new constitution and it must be identical to the old one on all the fundamental points. Okay, and the main character, Dodik and Silajic, are representative of these two attitudes, you know, and we are getting absolutely nowhere. What's happening meanwhile, the change of paradigm, as I say? February, you have a social movement who say, bunch of corrupt politicians, elites that have been using this Dayton framework for clientelistic purposes, and we are no longer interested in that. Corruption and unemployment are the real issue of Bosnia. We are unemployed in the three languages, as the slogan was in Sarajevo, including in Sarajevo. So there, I think, is for Europe the wake-up call, you know, that, yeah, maybe the 20th anniversary of Dayton could be yet another opportunity to put pressure to do something about changing the constitutional framework. But the real explosive issue will be economic and the social issue that is coming up. Final word on state of play in the EU. I don't have time for it. This would be, but I think Ivan referred to Minister Timmermans' speech. I think he summed it up perfectly, and it was important that he said it here and that he said it in this very straight, perhaps undiplomatic way, but that's how the state of play is within the EU. I think the economic and financial crisis has revealed the shift from what used to be the East-West divide, that is no longer the crucial thing, to the North-South, and the Balkans are at the receiving end of both, East-West and North-South. Tough luck, you know, you are in that particular corner. And to add difficulty, we no longer have the, as it used to be, the call about how to Europeanize the Balkans. Now we have Balkanization within Europe. We have, you know, we have a coming referendum in Catalonia on independence. We have a coming referendum in Scotland. You have, etc. I could go on like that. But the North-South divide, the crisis of European solidarity, is within our states, within number of member states. So this is not easy to project yourself on the periphery when the center itself is in trouble. Final word, if you want to make enlargement palatable and explain it as has been as Gerald said, you know, work on the public opinion front. If you're going to do that, you may refrain from using from Dayton to Donetsk, whole and free, because Dayton and Donetsk, you know, is not exactly what the Europeans implicitly or explicitly want to identify with. This is rather a repoussoir, you know, something you want to keep at bay. No, preferably, if we're going to use this kind of formula, I think the Churchillian, you know, from the Baltic to the Adriatic, that sounds like a better version to convince our skeptical public opinion.